we celebrate this Patriotic Sunday, and as we look out on the landscape of the world that you and I live in, sometimes you ask the question, and you hear some people ask the question, are we as a land always promised and assured the blessings of God? We live in a nation in which, when you study the founding fathers of this land, they were extremely godly men. They were very conscientious of the provisions and the one who created this land and brought them here from a tyrannical land of England. And they came to a land of freedom to live and to worship, and to worship nature's God, the Lord God Almighty. In the Declaration of Independence, it is so stated. But you and I look out on the fabric of our world, and you just have to ask the question, are we looking at a land that possibly is God giving up on our land? You look at our land and you think, you look at the financial problems, you look at the economical problems, you look at relational problems. Are we living in a land where God has said to a land, you don't want me, you don't desire to worship me, so I'm going to give you up? Now, there are some who'd say, well, God would never do that. That's just not God. He don't do that. Well, I would have to say to you that from Scripture, that is so. There have been those times when God has given up. And so this morning, I want to deal with a very serious message in light of so many things that is happening in our land, why you and I must stand up in a spirit of love, in a spirit of kindness, in a spirit of meekness, but why we must always stand up and be the people of God. If you'd take your Bible and turn with me to the New Testament book of Romans, I want to deal with this morning when God gives up on a nation. This is not a message designed to scare you or to frighten you, but we need to understand that our God is a very serious God. Our God is a very sobering and very long-suffering God. But there's no place in the Bible that says our God is eternally suffering. There is a time when the patience of God wears out. There's a time in which it's over and He brings His judgment onto a land. So I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans, because I want us to look at this morning what happens when God gives up on a nation. In Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 21 through 32, Paul is talking to the church at Rome. And by the way, there was a country and a nation that fell. It was Rome. Rome crumbled and fell, and Rome really is no more as it once was. But in verse 21, listen to what Paul says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. Listen carefully. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now Paul is talking to a church, and he's talking to the church at Rome. And he said, I want to tell you, there is a point when God gives up. There is a point in the life of a society. There is a point even in the life of a nation when God gives up. And I want to say this at the very outset. Our God, Jehovah God, eternal God, has always, is, and will forever always be the same from everlasting to everlasting. He is Jehovah God. Amen? He will, cannot, and never will change. Therefore, He cannot ever change. That is who He is, and that's His nature. And so, God is speaking through His servant Paul, and Paul is saying, here's what happens when God gives up. And the truth about it is, there are those times in Scripture when God simply pointed out, and there are those times we need to remember that there were societies and cultures in which God gave up on. If you have your outline out, follow along with me because I want to walk through this because if there is ever a time you need to take your relationship with God seriously, you need to take your Christianity seriously, it is today. We ought to run to serve the Lord God, be obedient to service to the Lord God, because Paul said there is a point when God gives up. And while many would declare that, God would never abandon this nation, God would never abandon this land, I'm here to tell you that if you will study and research Scripture, you will find that there have been times in which God gave up. First of all, you can go back to the book of Genesis. You know, God gave up on His creation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. Now, some would read that verse and say, now, what is God so upset about? What is God so mad about? What is God so angry about? But can I tell you this? That is our perverted looking at Scripture. Our God is a holy, loving, and kind God. Think about this. Would you be patient with the world like God is? Would you be as long-suffering with the world as God is? You know, people this morning who are using their mouth to curse the name of God, God's giving them the breath, He's giving them the lungs, He's giving the heartbeat. But what Moses said in the book of Genesis, he said, I want you to understand that God created mankind. As God created mankind, something radically altered and changed in the heart of man. And God said He was sorry that He made man. Why was God sorry that He made man? Because God says in Genesis, every man's heart was wicked continually. Every man was evil in his mind continually. In other words, there wasn't anybody that wanted to serve God. There wasn't anybody that wanted to worship God. There wasn't anybody that wanted to live for the Lord God. God said He looked upon the affairs of man, and you remember what Genesis said, that there was only one man that found favor in the sight of God, his family. Everybody else was living wickedly. Now, I want to give you the reality of Scripture, and I want you to listen carefully. More of the present is coming in the future. More of what has just taken place is coming. How do I know that? Listen to what Jesus said. As it was in the days of Noah. How many people were righteous in the days of Noah, folks? One family. It's going to get more distorted. It's going to get more weird. It's going to get more perverted in this land. Because, here's what God said, because they had the knowledge of God in their mind, they didn't want that. You look out today on the fabric of our land and you can just walk through Walmart and everything, it seems like so many things are oriented toward the flesh. You know, it's just about things and about stuff and about sex. And God said in the book of Genesis, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up on the creation that I've made. Listen carefully. When God gives His word of give up, there is serious consequences that's getting ready to happen. God said to Noah, build an ark, make sure, build it, and gave the layout of it. He said, I am going to destroy man. Listen, there is a point when God does give up on a nation. You say, surely not, Pastor. When is that time? Well, look at the nation in Noah's time. In that little nation, it wasn't a small community. There was hundreds and thousands that were living back then. And nobody wanted God. Nobody wanted to worship God. God said, it grieves me in my heart. How long do you think God was patient with them? He said, it grieves me in my heart that I've made man. It grieves me that I've created man. The Bible says that they failed to count for God. How do I know that? Because they were thinking evil continually. Do you notice, those of you that are at the church, as you're faithful and watch, do you listen to what's happening in churches all across the fabric of the land? I heard not too long ago, over the past few years, I forget how many churches have shut down, closed their doors. Why? Because the desire of mankind is growing more in yearning for evil and for the wicked things in the heart of mankind. God said to Noah, God said in Genesis, I give up. Now, it's not a picture of a hateful God. It's not a picture of a God that's mad. It's a picture of a God who looks at mankind and nobody wants God. Nobody wants to follow God. Nobody wants to listen to God. And you know, sometimes as I look at the fabric and I even look at some who name the name of the Lord and listen to some things that are said, and I thought, where's your walk with God? Where's your relationship with the living God? Where's your personal conduct? And you see, God said to Noah, he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. You can bank on it. It's coming. God gave up. God not only gave up on his creation. By the way, you and I are rescued because of Noah and his righteousness. By the way, let me tell you this. Let the world say what they want to say, believe what they want to believe, act the way they want to act. Your righteousness is a big deal to God. Your personal righteousness will rescue you when nothing else will. Righteousness is a big deal to the creator of the universe. But God also made it very clear. He gave up on a couple of cities. You know them by name and we remember them, Sodom and Gomorrah. In 1969, there was some excavation that was done and later in the 70s. And did you know that Sodom, it was discovered that over the years of its existence, they had come across 1,500,000 graves in Sodom through the process of time. And the archaeologists, they said they estimate that there's at least that many based on, you know, those that they had unearthed and the quantity and where they were located. And the archaeologists, as they were studying the lay of the land, there is something interesting in that land. It's called bitumen. If you know anything about asphalt, that's what's made in asphalt. And matter of fact, Josephus, in his book, The Works of Josephus, which is one of the only histories of the Mesopotamian, he talked about that region being asphalt, and he used a little different name, but anyway, it was filled. And some have suggested that all that needed to take place was an earthquake to take place that would blow that up into the air and devastate those cities. Well, we don't know exactly the process, but we know they were destroyed. Look very carefully in Genesis 19:13. This is what God's angels have said, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Did you notice that in this passage, there is no message for Lot to go through Sodom for an evangelistic campaign? He didn't tell Lot, go through and invite people to the local tabernacle, to the local synagogue. Don't invite them to church. Why? Because they wouldn't listen anyway. It's time for them to be destroyed, is what God's word said. Why were they destroyed? Because the Bible says they were filled to the brim with lust. They were filled to the brim with a yearning for sex among themselves. Men with men, women with women. Now listen to me very carefully, and I say this in love to everyone who is that way because I love them, because they're created by God. But God makes it very clear. It's an abomination to His name. It is not right. If you didn't understand that when I said, it is not right. And God said in His Word, I have seen the wickedness. By the way, God sent three angels and He said, I want you to look over the land. And Abraham said, would you please spare it for 50, for 45, for 40, for 35, for 30? And there was no one found righteous in the land. God is serious about His creation. Listen, you are the divine creation of Holy God. You are made to count for Holy God. And the Bible makes it very clear. They didn't want to count for God. Listen, it's amazing how many people live and believe that life evolves around me. Whatever I want to do, whatever feels good, do it. But the Bible makes it very clear in Genesis 19:24. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire fell from the Lord out of heaven. Here's God giving up on these cities. Why? Listen, it wasn't just because they're sex sin. Now listen carefully. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Growing sex sin in a nation is a sign that people don't want the living God. They want themselves. They want the lust. They want the things of the flesh rather than the living God. And here's the reality. I'm going to stand true to this book till the last breath I have in my body, because it is the only compass you and I have for life. It is the only compass that you and I have for living. And God said, I've looked at mankind. Listen, it all didn't happen in one day's time. It didn't happen in 2 days' time or a week's time or 6 months' time. But here's what happened. They had Lot. As you remember, Lot was the nephew of Abraham, so they decided not to listen to Lot. Lot, I'm sure, knew the truth, and he knew what God had told his uncle, but they just decided they didn't want it anymore. So they wanted one another. Men wanted men, women wanted women. And I love all of them, but listen carefully. It is unnatural, and it is unholy, and is wicked before the sight of God. That's what His Word says. God said they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you get upset with me, I'm sorry. That's what His Word says. Now, listen carefully. You don't wander into wickedness. You don't wander into that type of lifestyle. I have a dear friend. I still love him in the Lord. He is homosexual. He's been married for 5 years. I don't understand. I can't comprehend. Do I love him? Yes. Do I agree with him? God forbid. And here's what I see, I watch, because he just walks away from God. And that's exactly what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't want God in their mind. And that's what Paul said. They didn't want the knowledge of God in their mind, so they went after stuff. They went after other things. You know, God destroyed them. God gave up on that nation. You know, thirdly, God gave up on Israel. At one point, Deuteronomy 9:19, listen to what God said. I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure of the Lord. Listen very carefully. Do you realize our God is a living God? Our God is not a God up in heaven who just winks and just says, you can do what you want. Our God, the Bible says, gets angered at sin all day long. If there's one thing that ought to happen in your life, in my life, we ought to be angry with sin. Not get angry and throw the people away, because God loves them and God wants to redeem them by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul said in one occasion in Corinthians, you say, well, you know, we don't need to have anything to do with those. No, you need to love them, because God's Spirit can move in some of them and they can get saved. You say, I just don't know about that. I don't believe that. Well, you've got to talk to Paul the Apostle. Paul said some of you were effeminate, but God has saved you out of that lifestyle. God saves people. Listen, it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Paul made it very, Moses made it very clear. He said, there's a point that God was angry with Israel to destroy you. You need to realize that not just their sin, but our sin is a wicked thing before God. We don't just need to look at somebody else's sin and say, man, look at their life. You need to guard your life and your spiritual life well. Listen, do you know the one thing God hates more than anything? Look in the book of Proverbs. And it's not homosexuality or lesbianism. The Bible says God hates a prideful heart. And that's what you and I need to be conscious of. We don't need to be arrogant or prideful. But the Bible says God was angered to the point even to destroy Israel. Why was God angry to destroy Israel? Listen carefully. I say it over and over and over again. Your life is serious business to God. Do you think that you are here by happenstance? Do you think you're here by accident? Do you think that your life, you say, well, I'm just a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old or 12-year-old. Listen, God in His creative, majestic power brought you into this world. I look at my little granddaughter and I love holding her and love it. Walking her the other day and made me reminisce. And as I was walking the dog, somehow I got settled with both of them, carrying my grandbaby and walking the dog. But anyway, she would just go in like this, pinching on Grandpa, or Papa, that's what I call. And I thought, you look at them, how miraculous a life is, amen? How miraculous a precious life is. And that's why God is so patient. That's why God is so redemptive. That's why God is so gracious and long-suffering. But God said to Sodom, God said in creation, God even said here He was angry enough, and yet Moses stood in the brink and spared the life of Nineveh, or spared the life of Israel. God gave up on Nineveh. You know, Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, and here's what I want you to understand. There is a point that God gives up. There is a point that God does give up. Listen, Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, what was Jonah saying? He didn't tell him to repent. He didn't tell him to turn to God. He said, 40 days and you're going to be destroyed. 40 days and you're coming down. 40 days and God is going to deal with you because you're so wicked and you're so ungodly. 40 days and you're going to be destroyed. Jonah was not told to go through the land and to preach a message of repentance. But you know, there, by what I understand, the only city who repented the Bible says the ruler rent his clothes and everybody rent their clothes and they put on sackcloth and ashes and they repented and they called out to the God of Jonah. And you know what God did? He spared them. Here's what I want you to understand. There is a point in society that God does give up. There are points, you say, well, when is the point? Well, Paul made it very clear. And just look at the reason. Why does God give up? You know, it's not just rebellion toward God, though that is a serious byproduct. What is God to do with His creation when His creation doesn't want Him anymore? What is He to do with His creation when here's what they did in Noah's time and in Sodom and Gomorrah's time? Nobody wanted to know about God. Now think about this for a moment. Husbands, imagine you work long, hard hours every week to bring in a paycheck. Your wife don't know anything about you. Your kids don't want to know anything about you. They just want your paycheck. You give them the paycheck and they go out. They don't want to know about dad. They don't want to know about husband. They don't want to know anything about you. Go out and get some more money. Bring it in. You say, that's hideous. That's the way we treat God. God, you just bring on the blessings. It's a sin for us to disregard holy God. It's a sin for you not to read the Word of God if you name the name of Christ. If you're a child of God, you ought to be in the Word of God reading His Word. Why? Because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. One of these days you're going to exit. Isn't it going to be a terrible, terrible tragedy when you stand in the presence of holy God? I didn't know any of your Word. Why? Because I was busy with stuff. I was busy with things. I was busy with a job. Now listen very carefully. God says to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. Amen? Do you know it's a good thing to read the Word of God? Amen? A few amens. Are you reading the Word of God? Say amen. You see, you and I can't visibly see God. There have been a few times in my life that things just really going tough. You know what I'm talking about? Things are just going really rough and tough, and you don't understand what's going on. Maybe it's a crisis, maybe it's a tragedy. And I never will forget one time, one place, I said, Lord, I just wish you was here so I could hug you because I need you. And then it dawned on me, and I'm sure he put it into my mind. I had my Bible close by, and you know what I did? I just got it and grabbed it and just hugged it as close as I could. You know why? He loves us. He's not out to do you in. He's not out to hurt you. He's not out to wreck your life. But Satan has a way of perverting our thinking and warping our thinking, especially when we're not in the Word of God. And you know, the reason God gave up? Because they just didn't want His Word in their life. Let me tell you this, and I want to warn every single solitary one of you under the sound of my voice. If your life blows up in front of you and you turn away from God and you walk away and you end up with a devastated life, don't you dare blame God. It was there all the while. It just took the right circumstances for it to take place. I've known preachers who've walked away from God because they said, well, you just don't understand. Life's tough sometimes. But you know what? One of the things that happened in Sodom's time and creation time and Nineveh's time, nobody wanted God. Paul said it this way, everybody's thinking about their own thing. Nobody's thinking about God. You ever stop and think about that? When was the last time you just walked with God? I mean, you just took a stroll and you just said, Father, I just want to walk and talk with you. I just want to enjoy your presence. That's one of the things I like about mowing my lawn. When you get on your lawnmower, the engine's running, you can't hear the cell phone. First of all, you don't have your cell phone with you. And, you know, you're just there and it's your own mind, your conscience, you get to talk to the Father. Paul said everybody's thinking about their own stuff. Nobody's thinking about God. But here's the reality. In Sodom's case, they were destroyed because they decided they didn't want God. They turned away from the knowledge of God and they said they wanted creation. Men wanting men, women wanting women. And though we love them in the Lord, love them because the shed blood of Jesus Christ has enabled us to love, you can never make wrong right before a holy God. Amen? Wrong will never be right in the Word of God. You're never mean. Don't you ever be mean or unkind, because don't you lose your witness. But here's the reality. God destroyed them. In Israel's case, they decided they didn't want to worship God. You know, we've got a lot of gods in our day and time too. You say, I don't think we've got a lot of gods. There's a lot of gods parked at the local lake. There's a lot of gods in some of the courses, golf courses. Now, nothing wrong with golf. I like golf. I'm as bad as anybody else. Nothing wrong with it. But you see, what is first in your life? And the reality of it was, in Jonah's case, because here's the reality. God said, I gave them up. Give them up to their own heart's lust. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, and it's happening, and you see it. God is giving America up, and you see it before your eyes. He said, I'm giving you up to your own heart's lust. And you know what happens when a nation is given up? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 for just a moment. I don't have near the time to deal with this, but I want you to underline this chapter, and especially these verses. In verse 15 and following, I just want to pick out a few things that will happen. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command thee, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. In other words, you'll go down. I'll demote you, says the Lord. Isn't by that you mean he means that? Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. In other words, your children are not a blessing anymore. They're a blight. They're a pain to you. Verse 21, the Lord shall send pestilence, make the pestilence cleave unto you. Verse 22, I'll smite you with consumption, with fever, inflammation. In other words, there's going to be more and more and more diseases in your land. 23, the heaven that's overhead shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Go on down, verse 40. Thou shalt, or I think it's verse 41, you'll have sons and daughters, not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Now, how would we go into captivity? Do you know now that some of our corporations have moved to another land? Some of our corporations are moving overseas. God said, I'll do that because you didn't want the Lord your God. Verse 50 is so interesting. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee, either corn, wine, oil, the increase of thy kind, flocks, sheep, until he has destroyed thee. And you see, here's the sobering thing about it. Because you didn't obey the Lord. But there's an interesting word in verse 61. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good, to multiply you, I want you to listen to this carefully, so the Lord will rejoice over you to, say those last two words, destroy you, and to bring you to naught. You shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess. And you say, Pastor, surely that's not God. Here's the reality. It's what God does to a people that says, I don't want God anymore. I don't want His worship anymore. I don't want His word anymore. I don't want His will anymore. I don't want the God of creation. I want stuff. I want things. I want sex. I want more and more of all of these things. I want more things. I want more stuff. I want more sex. And the reality of it is, God says, just as it pleased me to bless you when you did good, it will please me to destroy you. You say, isn't that horrible? No, you remember this. God has been and will forever be a holy God. You say, well, you know, Genesis was met with catastrophe. Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you looked lately at what's going on in our land? Have you looked lately at what is happening in our land? Do you stop and think, listen, who controls the world? God does. Who controls the weather? Now, He can give Satan permissive use of it, but here's the reality. There is but one who controls His world. So with all of this in mind, and you say, Pastor, that's so scary. It's not scary if we obey Him, amen? It ought to cause you and urge you and remind you, our God is a serious God. Listen, how you lived this past week was serious to God. If you took advantage of somebody this last week, that was serious business to God. If you said, I don't want to get in the Word of God, I don't want to read the Word of God, I don't want to study the Word, I want to watch TV all week long, that's serious to God. And you know what happens? Sometimes we act like the Bible doesn't work or that God doesn't mean what He says. Can I tell you this? In all the years I've preached and pastored, I watch people as they sow their life. There ain't a one that I've seen that's not reaped exactly what they've sown. I've seen some, even preachers, live and behave and act in horrible ways. And I watch as they get a little bit older, they reap what they sow. Well, what can we do? I want you to listen very carefully, very quickly in closing, because I want you to look at number four. What's the remedy? Well, here's the only remedy. It's not buying a lot more books. It's not necessarily going to a whole lot more church services, because the truth about it is you can go to a church service and not be serious about obeying God. The first thing that you and I need to realize is this. Our life matters and repentance matters before God. What did God say in 2 Chronicles? We've said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, let's say it together, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. This land belongs to us. This land is our land. You remember that song? That just made me think when singing, "This land is your land, this land is my land." I have to tell you, I sang that song so much as a kid, but I'd love for it to come back again. You know, sing it every morning. You say the Pledge of Allegiance, and I could think I could do it backwards when I was a kid. But God said, I will heal your land. If you take serious your personal obedience. Second, choose to repent. Now, what does it mean, repenting? If you're about things and about stuff and about the things of this world, then you need to repent. Because there's going to be a day you're going to stand before a holy God. And aren't you going to be excited to tell Him, Lord, I had a lot of money in the bank. I had some property I never counted for God. Now, why am I being so plain and to the point? Because we have a loving God who cares about this land. And it's you and me that makes the difference in this land. Righteousness exalts a nation. Do you realize your righteousness? Get back to, listen, personal obedience and personal obedience daily. And then choose to worship God. You don't have to be in Sunday school and in church just to worship, though you need to be here every time as you can. You need to be faithful. Listen, I've been faithfully coming to church. Now, I have to tell you, when I was a kid, I had to miss Walt Disney World to go to church. But my mom and dad didn't listen to me. They wouldn't say, because they knew what was best. You may not have been brought up in a Christian home, but you know what? Don't you know what happens when you come to the house of God? You leave knowing there's a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you and is going to guide you and lead you. And listen, all hell can't do you in. You know why? Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? And that's what we have. We have the risen Christ. And so live daily talking to the Father. Live daily talking to the Lord Jesus. And just say, Father, you're just neat. You know, you don't have to pray in the King James Version. You don't have to pray using these and thous. And sometimes I just like to say, God, this is awesome. Somebody tell me something. Many of you shared certain things with me, and it wasn't coincident, but it was awesome how God worked. It's just neat to say, Lord, you're awesome. You're amazing. You know what? I love it when my granddaughter looks at me. She can't say Papa yet, but she looks at me. You know what that does? That gets me right here. Don't you think our Heavenly Father loves to hear you say, Father, you're awesome. You love me. You care for me. And then seek the face of God in day by day living. What do you mean seek the face of God? Ask Him, Lord, what should I do? Should I take this job, that job? Seek His face. Seek His Word, and then choose to live obediently. Sometimes obedience is challenging. And let me just give you a real quick one that happens to all of us from time to time. You get cut off on the road. You have a Winnebago right in front of you, and you think he's going to turn right, and he's going to turn left, and he's pulling the car behind you. What's the obedient thing to do? I just shared with you my personal experience just a few days ago. I wanted to say something. But you know what? My life is serious business to the Father. Your life is serious business to the Father. Imagine it's that day you walk before the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to get to see Him. You're going to get to see Him visibly, personally, and close up. He has a body. That's what the Bible says. Can you imagine standing before Him and knowing you wasted your life? And you wasted making a difference. Listen, Noah didn't run around all over the earth while he was here. He couldn't change anybody's life. But you know what he did? He stood in righteousness. He stood obeying the Word of God. Because the Bible says Noah did all that the Lord told him to do. Wouldn't you love for your son or daughter, when they talk about you, man, my dad, he was a man of God. My mom was a mom of God. Or young people, wouldn't you like for it to be said, man, that person, they just lived for God. What an awesome, awesome life. Those are the people that will change this world for the positive, for the good, and for the glory of God. Amen? Righteousness and righteousness alone is what exalts a nation. Is your life righteous before God? Father, you remind us in your word that when there is no righteousness in the land, you deal with it. When there is no righteous man or woman in the land, no one who wants you, who wants to live for God, walk with God, talk to God, you will deal with that land. And Father, you remind us of this truth. Lord, I pray for everyone here, everyone under the sound of your servant's voice that names the name of Christ. Lord, I pray that we would all take seriously our role on planet Earth. Lord, we can talk about the problems, the government, we can talk about everything under the sun, but righteous people live for God, and they don't just do it one day a week. Lord, I pray that we would be that righteous people, that holy people, that set apart people. Lead in this invitation. Draw that person to Christ that's lost. Draw that person to Christ that needs you. Draw that person, this altar, who may need to come and repent, is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.